When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Android's activated now.
The tape is rolling, the red orb is glowing.
20.
Audience receptor units activated now.
15.
Music distribution equipment activated now.
10. 9. 8. 7. 6. 5. 4.
All units
three,
activated.
2.
Countdown
one.
Terminating.
Countdown complete.
All units functioning. Movement commencing. We have liftoff.
Things I want to post. I want to post cool stuff, slick stuff, neat stuff. But most of the stuff I'm going to post is going to be raw stuff like this. This is just who I am. So if this is truly a conversation, then I say let the conversation begin.
Mike, the floor walk. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike, I'm shocked you didn't bring your Yankee wool cap.
I don't own a Yankee wool cap. Sorry.
Come on. You don't?
No, I don't wear caps, so I don't wear hats. But that's
no, I remember in 76 you had one on.
No, you don't remember that, Mike, because I did not. I don't wear one, sorry. So, you know, you come back, you weren't there in 76, so what are you talking about?
The worst. So I went to a clinic and the was examined by a Chinese doctor. His diagnosis was non-specific urethritis.
CDs, and I've even made one of my own. What they didn't know was that the diarrhea that I thought I had well under control was not equal to the strain of my coloured mission. Thank God for dark brown trousers.
Everybody, it's the best show, right? You know when Falco comes in, it's time for the best show. What's your favorite Falco song, Tom? Sound of Music. Mine too. He's so good, Falco. Why was he taken from us? He was more than Rock Me Amadeus and Vienna Calling. He had so many hits. But here in America, or Mer-America, right? They only know him as Rock Me Amadeus, which makes me sick. So welcome to the best show. My name's Tom. I'm the host of tonight's installment as it's a running... my record's pretty consistent that I've been the host of every episode since 1914. So this apparently I did something wrong in a previous life, and this is my karmic sentence to do this until my corporal form gives out. But you know what? I'm going to keep doing it. You can't stop me. larger forces than humans, right?
I'm opening a Diet Dr. Pepper.
I'm here on a Sunday doing the show. That's right, Sunday. And we're doing it on Sunday because on Tuesday, I'm in Los Angeles. But on Tuesday, we will not be doing the show because you'll be hearing this on Tuesday. We're not doing it on Tuesday. Because on Tuesday in Los Angeles, there's going to be an exciting live event, which is a reading of the Grown Ups 3 script. The script that everybody's talking about. Everybody's talking about that little script. Remember in Rocky 6, Rocky Balboa, when he was like, that computer simulation's got people talking. Maybe the dumbest line in all of cinema. Enough to make Rocky go back in the ring. Is that an ESPN computer simulation of which boxer could beat who from all the different eras made Rocky come back? And he didn't have any help because all his friends are dead. Mickey and Apollo and others. His wife, oh, Adrian's dead. Rocky 6. So he gets what's-his-face to help him. Apollo Creed's old trainer. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
You can throw Pat's mic on, Brad. First of all, also, let me interrupt this. Let's sidebar this. We're 7 sidebars deep already. The 90 seconds. I want to say we are in Los Angeles recording this. And we're at the Forever Dog Studios. Now, this is my kind of place. Look. Do they have a cold brew machine set up like at the Distinguished Competition? No, they don't. They have a hose. And it has a hole in it. And it leaks down, and we're not supposed to drink from it. But I took a sip of it, and somebody on the floor below us is mad. No, they don't have that. They have a hose. They have a cup. Brett was like, do you want to use the cup? And I was like, yeah, sure. And then he was like, nope, it's too bad. James Adomian borrowed it, took it home. They don't even have the cup here. No, but you know what they've got? It's appropriate, apropos of talking about Rocky. Forever Dog's kind of like Rocky.
Yeah.
Well, who said that? Hold on. Look, I only have like 2 things to do. Let me get a build going here, Pat. I want to cash out my, I don't want to cash my chips too early. So, as I was saying, what are we done yet? Did we do full show yet?
No.
Brett? Pat? Wait, hold on, Pat. Okay. Ay, ay, ay. No? Give me the sign when we're, wait, that's all we've done? I see that clock rolling there. Yikes. Oh, boy, is going to be, no, this is a good show already. Because you know why? Because I'm surrounded by friends. It's like being at Olive Garden. Or in Philadelphia terms, what is it? Is that like an Italian? What's that chain?
Old Spaghetti Factory.
Old Spaghetti, thank you. Who's that? Who said that? There's person after person. It's like I'm being shouted at from the audience. It's like, a stand-up comic. Let's go to the 9th sidebar now. And we will work back because we keep going over and over. But we hit all the points. We hit all the points. Stand-up comedy is a faulty form of entertainment because it's a monologue posing as a dialogue. Somebody goes, "Did anybody see Avengers Endgame?" And literally, the last thing that the person saying it, who has the only working microphone in the room, by the way. Literally the last thing they want is an answer to that question. But they ask a question that they do not want to hear an answer to. So, yeah, it felt a little bit less. So let's back it up. We go back to Philadelphia, not to Old Spaghetti Factory. Why does that sound gross? Old Spaghetti. It makes it like, yeah, we don't have new spaghetti here. It's like, is it the Old Spaghetti Factory or is it the Old Spaghetti Factory? Like, we make old spaghetti here from dead stock, rotten old flour. Oh, you want some new spaghetti? You should go to the new spaghetti factory. This is my Philly material. It kills in Philly. They love it there when I do this. My stuff is so funny in Philly that even the Rocky statue laughs a little bit. See, now we're back to Rocky. See how I do it? It's when you're in the hands of a master. The old master painter doing his thing. Yeah. Philly got the old, I lost it now. I had it, and I lost it.
Bad help me. Was Paulie dead in Rocky VI? In Rocky
no,
Balboa?
Paulie died in Creed.
You're right. Yeah, he died in Creed.
He died by the time they made Creed, but he was still around because he was in the meat locker with Rocky where he's just like, come on, Rocky! Like,
so they brought back that.
They brought back Paulie and
Apollo's trainer.
And Apollo's trainer who got, cause they were just like, Rocky, you can't, your footwork is terrible.
Yeah.
Your endurance is awful.
But Adrian dies or is already dead in the movie?
No, Rocky punches her and she, no, that's not what, she's dead already.
She's dead. But the actress wasn't dead.
No, Talia Shire's still alive.
She's still alive, yeah.
Yeah. Burgess Meredith was still alive when they killed him in Rocky III. Thunderlip, not Thunderlip, it's the one with Mr. T. He was,
he scares him to death.
What was his name again?
In the movie?
Clubber Lang. It was Clubber Lang.
Yeah.
When he's like, he's telling Rocky, he's like, don't take this fight, Rocky. Like, Rock, you ain't got it no more. And then Adrian says the same thing. If I was Rocky, I'd be like, yeah, hey, and you guys notice the fancy houses you're all living in? Yeah, I kind of paid for all of that. Like, literally all of it. You worked in a pet store before I, like a low-rent pet store. And then Rocky's like, I had to sell my bleeping dog to make ends meet. He sold Butkus. Remember
that?
Right.
Yeah.
If they did anything decent, if Sylvester Stallone goes back George Lucas style and starts putting special edition scenes together, he should add a CG scene where Rocky repurchases Butkus.
I would bet that they already removed the boom mic from Rocky One. There's like a famous boom mic in one of the fight scenes that kind of dips down.
And there's a whole lot of moving the crowd.
Yes.
To whatever side they were shooting. Scene. They're suddenly just like...
It was too big of an arena to shoot in. Yeah.
So they only had a finite amount of extras.
Mm-hmm.
So they were just like, all right, everybody move to this side for these shots. We need to make this look like a championship fight.
It was like an independent film at that point.
I met Carl Weathers a couple months ago. Pat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good guy.
Nice.
Good guy. Guess where I met him?
Out here.
In Los Angeles, yeah.
You met him... You mean part of town or place?
Place. It was on a set.
On a set?
Yeah. It's fun when I make vocal fry sounds, right?
You met him on the set of The Circle. No.
Come on.
That's
first of all, The Circle filmed over the summer. Everybody
and
knows that.
In New York, right? Or somewhere.
It filmed in England.
Oh.
They removed... The amazing thing about The Circle shooting in England, in London, is that those people had passports. It's still probably the most impressive part of The Circle.
The cast of The Circle.
The idea that Joey.
Yeah.
Shoebomb, I could picture having a passport. Joey, Sammy.
Do you think that they left it up to the cast to get that done?
No. That okay. was a... That was a... Who has passports?
Mm-hmm.
There was like so much handhold. They probably were just like,
Producers.
They probably lied to them about like, you need to have your passport a month before you get on the plane. Just to completely terrify them. And we're going to send someone to help you get that passport.
Completely.
You picture
showing up at their homes to get the five forms or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I can picture a bill, for example. Everybody loves The Circle's cheering when you sing that. You can picture a bill, for example, at Walgreens waiting to get the passport photo, right?
Yeah.
That's the one thing Walgreens is still...
still in business.
Still in, but keeping, that's going to keep the lights on at Walgreens too. Those passport photos. That curtain, right? They pull it down.
Little thumbnail printout.
Still going to keep that photo area in Walgreens going. Sick how it works, though. Sick and sad. Equal parts. So, as I was saying, Rocky, yeah, they removed the thing. They moved the crowd. Oh, Carl Weathers.
Yeah, where'd you meet him?
On a set, let's just say, I can't say it out loud.
Okay.
But let's just say it's a set of a space-based franchise. Don't say it. Don't you say it. You can mouth it to me.
I won't.
It's usually movies, but then they made a TV show about it. And there's like a little dude in it that everybody likes. I met the little dude.
Yeah.
With my own eyes. Met the little dude who shall not be named. I met.
Oh, wow.
Met him. Almost started crying the second I saw him, I swear. It was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life.
You and Herzog.
Me and Herzog. And then when Werner Herzog was like, said that he cried when he saw the little dude, I was like, see, everybody make fun of me for being overly sentimental.
Yeah.
Look, anything can make me cry. I'll admit that. I see, holy moly, when I saw Creed, that was a tear jerker for me. It wasn't even a tear jerker. There was no tears being jerked. It was a waterworks. People were slipping in the aisles. People were complaining that the water was rolling down. Kind of like the guy below us here at Forever Dog.
Right.
Complained about the hose. They were just like, is this the Forever Dog hose? When I was crying during Creed. And I was like, first of all, I was like, sir, this is an Arby's, which is maybe the witty retort that we can all, I think anybody says that to anybody now, you can, I don't say punch them. You can give them a dirty look. Just go, come on.
Yeah.
You know better. When somebody's like, I can't stand, blah, blah, blah. And even if you disagree with them 100%, when they go, and somebody goes, sir, this is an Arby's. You know what I'm talking about? You know this
yeah.
one? No? No?
It's just a comic cliche.
It's meant to make people sound like they're rambly and out of touch. Like they don't really make sense. They're ranting in an Arby's. So, yeah. So when I saw Creed, ay. But, it was exciting when you see Creed and then you see, a good portion of Creed takes place at Johnny Brenda's.
Yeah.
Right? Which place, where do you think Creed would get a cheesesteak?
I think he would go.
I think there's one he wouldn't go to.
Yeah. There's right? a few he wouldn't go to.
Yeah. If anything, you should, why is he in Philly still?
Right.
Right? Why is Creed still in Philly? After that Super Bowl riot? Like how that's called like a rally, right? When people run down the street, trashing everything in sight. No, it's good old fashioned fun watching them demolish. Listening to the police scanner that night was one of the highlights
when
of my life.
When the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
When the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
And their version of is it Tinker Tape Parade? I never know.
Well, just pick, it's from the old Wall Street days, the machine, that thing would go like,
right.
Would print out the stock, would it be like reading the thing, then they throw those out the window.
So in New York City, when the Yankees win or the Rangers win or someone, they have a ticker tape parade.
Yes.
When the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
It's a garbage parade.
Right.
They throw garbage at each other. And burned down awnings.
It was insane.
It was great. It was like the police scanner. And if somebody listening to this has, if there's any kind of like best of the police scanner for that night, that would be the best thing I've ever heard. I'd put that up there with, when Paul Thomas Anderson's father, who is the announcer, does all the, he used to be the ABC announcer.
Right.
There's like that tape of him cursing. You ever hear that? He's like, tonight on Fantasy Island, mother, blah, blah. Like, cause he's like, that's Paul Thomas Anderson's father.
Wow.
Yeah. I'd play some now for you, but it's got toilet words in it. We could bleep them out, right?
Most likely.
I'll play a little bit. The Dudio can bleep them out.
Sorry, Dudio.
Sorry, Dudio. You go where the show goes. Hold on. YouTube. I go to Google and search YouTube.
And the Super Bowl is happening.
That was a joke.
I right now.
To Google and search YouTube. You just type in YouTube. It's happening right now.
Isn't it?
No, it's next week.
Oh.
There's got to be a week, a rollout.
I'm so out of
Ernie
it.
Anderson. Ernie Anderson outtakes. This is Paul Thomas. I'm going to play a second of this because I don't want to have to create a whole lot of work for Dudio to do.
Go on another track. That's all you got to do. So, if any of you or your friend... Oh, Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
Well, let me explain something to you.
There's something wrong with this picture. I'm leaving here. You get?
Yeah, that's... that. There you go. Now you know why there's so much swear words in Boogie Nights. He learned it from his papa, who was also a horror host. Wouldn't it be fun if your father was like a horror host? His name was Goulardi in Ohio. You're like, yeah, my dad introduces the blob. Following all the threads, Philadelphia, anybody has the any of the police scanner where there's like, Rod, 5th and Arch, and there's a Christmas tree on fire in Mill Street. Because it was like trees that had not been picked up for a month were all dried out now. Because it was early February. All these Christmas trees, the sports enthusiasts in Philly decided, hey, they didn't throw these out yet. We'll help the waste disposal program. We'll set them on fire in the middle of the street.
And also, that's pretty late to throw out a Christmas tree, isn't it?
Well, I just think they were sitting there.
Oh, just accumulating?
Probably a little bit of both.
Wow. There's a lot of questions to be asked.
A lot of questions. And I'd rather come up with the answers myself, unfairly and on the spot. Judge, jury, executioner. Now, you might wonder who this is that I'm talking to. No, that's not Brett. Are all you guys named Brett? All you podcast guys? There's like 8 guys at Earwolf named Brett. Is that, does every network need a Brett or they can't get like sanctioned by iTunes or something? Where's your Brett? Hi, we'd like to get our podcasts up on the network. Very good. What do you have? Well, we have a show. It's a pretty exciting show. It's Bobby Lee doing all the episodes of Lost. He's going one by one doing the episodes of Lost. And it's called Lost with Lee. And we got that on our network. Very good. We like it. Where's your Brett? Well, he's not here yet. He's running late. He's parking. Sorry. Digital hang up. Clink. That's what a hang up sounds like in cyberspace. So, you hear that voice? That's not Brent. Oh, by the way, Brett, thank you for doing this. It's Brett or Brent?
Brett.
Brett. What's the other guy's name? Brent. Brett. No, the no, your guy, Pat.
My guy?
Yeah. Brent Douglas.
Oh, yeah. He has the podcast for laundry.
Yes.
Yes.
Brent Douglas's podcast for long. Now, that's not on this network, is it?
It is.
It is?
There's a framed picture for it right over there.
What?
Yeah.
I've been on that show before.
It's a legacy show.
The podcast for laundry with Brent
Douglas.
For the longest time, I thought it was Dinklage.
No. Different guy.
No.
It's Peter.
But I thought they were related.
Mm-mm.
I thought that's how, I was like, that's how this guy got in the biz.
He had it. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting. We're doing a Game of Thrones recap show. It's, Peter Dinklage is doing it with a guy who played one of the elves. Were there elves on Game of Thrones? I'm assuming there must have been, right? Hobgoblins. And also, let me say this, you Lord of the Rings fans. I've been waiting to say this for a long time and sitting on this one for a while. Your dumb movie came out 11 years ago. Get ready. Look out. Here comes a hot take. Now, that would be a ticker tape thing. Would be say hot take on it. This is what Lord of the Rings is about to me.
got a dude dressed like a wizard. It's all adults. One's dressed like a wizard. One's dressed like an elf. Another one's dressed like a hobbit. And they're running around. And they're scared of this thing they're fighting that is like an eye that looks not unlike lady parts. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
And what are they trying to destroy? They're like, we're scared of that. And then they're also like, a ring is what they're trying to, like, we need to stop the ring.
Yeah, were they stopping the ring or trying to find it?
They're trying to destroy it. They're trying to throw it into the volcano.
Right. I only saw the third
Arrested
and final
It's all about Arrested Development. They're scared. They're scared of adulthood. We want to dress like wizards forever. That's what it's about. So next time you watch it. First time I saw that movie, that first one, was the most boring thing I ever saw in my life. Watching them sit around and have a picnic. Talking all about their adventure that they didn't go on yet. This is going to be the greatest adventure ever. Just you wait. Well, you could show it to us now. Oh, we got to make plans for the adventure. And then the movie ends. I'm like, well, that sucked. Second movie, people are like, no, this second one's great. I see that second one. Half the movie is like a hobbit getting walked around by a tree. Kind of like moving, like, boot, I'll get you there. Let's just keep going. And then, like, it's worse than the first one. Then everybody's like, oh, the third one's the best one. Yeah, well, guess what? I'm out.
See, that's the only one I saw.
Have I seen six Conjuring movies? Yes, I have. How many of them are great? Six. Conjuring. Conjuring 2. Annabelle. Annabelle Creation. Annabelle Comes Home. I saw five.
That's five, yeah.
But I didn't see The Nun.
Is that part of the world?
That is part of the Conjureverse.
Is there a witch too? The witch is the first one, kind of.
There's one called like The Curse of Something or Other.
They could go back further and make the story about how the witch that haunted the house in the first one came to be. I'm in LA for a few more days. I could start pitching this.
Yeah. Conjureverse. Let's go. Let's walk in with some hot conjuring takes. There's going to be another. I was looking online. There's another Conjuring movie coming later this year. Conjuring 3.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's the third of the original.
Conjuring one, yes. Yeah. But Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson, who play the husband and wife team.
The spook detectives.
The spook detectives, yes. Yeah. I will also say this. The Conjuring franchise has more women in parts than any other movie franchise I've ever seen in terms of starring and having it be. It's like there were more ladies in the. I almost cursed.
Studio, he'll bleep it out.
No, I'm not going to curse. I don't curse. Irishman had like the one wife was like, "Man, I want to smoke a cigarette."
Yeah, I didn't like that.
And they're like, let's pull over so they could smoke cigarettes.
They keep showing that scene, too, to describe how, like, Pesci's acting ability or whatever in that movie. And I was like, why are the... I don't know.
His best acting in it was when he went, this grape juice, this is the good stuff. Yeah.
Canada Dry. Talking about Canada Dry.
He's back. Pesci's back. So, Pat is here. I guess we took the scenic route in terms of saying Pat is here. How are you, Pat?
I'm great. It's an honor to see Forever Dog in person, and not only that, but I can finally say I'm at the Orange Table, the famous Orange Table. I've only seen it in pictures. I'm finally here. I'm touching the Orange Table.
And let me say this. First of all, there's no signatures on this table. They don't have to let everybody know that. I don't have to look at the table and see that Rob Hubel was here. Maybe write their name on it. First of all, it's disrespect of property. Right all over a
That's
table.
True.
Secondly, where do you think that thing's going? They secretly think it's going to like Smithsonian or something. No, it's going to the
podcast.
It's going to the Podcast Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It's not. Trust me. Yeah, they're like, they'll take it at the Smithsonian. They'll be like, great, great. And then they'll just set it up in a break room. They'll just use it as an actual table there. They think they're going to put next to a Funzie's jacket?
No.
Right? Next to the Spirit of St. Louis?
Here's Apollo 11.
I go there. Apollo 11, Spirit of St. Louis, and and then here's the table that Paul Scheer wrote his name on. Although they do have, like, Archie Bunker's chair.
It's true, but, I mean...
I watched that live, All in the Family.
With Woody Harrelson?
With Woody Harrelson and with Marissa Tomei.
How were both of them in those roles?
Well, that show sucked, All in the Family.
Yeah.
In its original incarnation, it's preachy.
Who played Reiner? Rob Reiner's character?
Ike Barinholtz. Ike Barinholtz.
I don't know.
From Blockers. Mad TV. What else has he been in, Brett? The Mindy Project. Mind away, Glenn Miller. Played. I could have done that.
You would have. You would have been a great.
I could have done all the songs it made. Right. I could do all of those.
Either
part. Ellie Kemper, former co-star of Pat Burns Project, played Gloria.
That's right. Oh, she did. That's great.
Yes. It was good to see her.
That's
and then
good. That's good for Ellie.
They did a back-to-back thing because then they did a Jeffersons one, and Jamie Foxx was George Jefferson.
Were they back-to-back on the same night?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. But the thing is that George Jefferson was in the All in the Family episode, and then he went down the hall to go do the Jeffersons episode, which was fun. That yeah, he did the George Jefferson, the dance, and then Will Ferrell played the neighbor.
That's funny.
And Kerry Washington was the wife. So Kerry Washington is Lenny Kravitz's mother on that. Because in real life, yes. Roxy Roker was Lenny Kravitz's mother. Fun fact. Did you know that? No? Do you know the Jeffersons? Yes. The neighbor across the hall, Roxy Roker, the actor who played her... Yeah, not him though. His wife,
right?
Roxy Roker was Lenny Kravitz's mother, and still is. Although she's no longer alive, but she'll always be his mother. Mm-hmm. I want to get away. Maybe the worst song ever, right? We can all agree.
But his best song,
top three. No, he's got Mr. Cab Driver. That's a good song, right?
What is that?
That's a good song.
I only know his cover of American
Fine.
Woman and.
Cover of American Woman is not so hot.
Not so hot. And Fly Away.
Fly Away.
That's my Lenny Kravitz.
Lenny Kravitz. Fly Away is first thing that comes up. No. The other
no.
Are you going to go
my
way?
Go my way. You're
that's
right.
A good one,
that's
right?
The one, yeah.
That's good. No, Mr. Cab Driver is a good song. Mr. Cab Driver. We'll play a little bit of Mr. Cab Driver. Maybe it sucks now. 2 million views. Kravitz doing it right. And here's a commercial, because I still am not doing this right. Figure I'd sink the money into a YouTube, high-class YouTube account, right?
No way, Jose.
Let's go get breakfast. No, let's hang for a second, man. Hang. I've done all the hanging I can do on this.
We'll is this the first album?
Yes.
Bad?
Yeah, you're right. And the production quality of the music video and the song, I would guess it was even before that first big album. But
Kravitz was lo-fi.
That's great.
Barlow before Barlow, right? It was him. It was Lenny Kravitz, Eric Gaffney, and Lou Barlow. They were the original members of Centrido, not before Sebado. They first did it. They were lo-fi. Then Jason Lowenstein entered the picture when Lenny Kravitz left. I remember going to see Sebado play live back when they were just Eric and Lou, and they had the boombox. And Lou had just gotten kicked out of Dinosaur Jr.
and it was out in front of Wetlands is where they were playing. Now, this was the bill. Nikki Sudden, legendary, Spall Maps, Nikki Sudden, Sebado, King Missile.
Can I guess the year?
Yes.
1993.
I think you're a little late on that. I think it might have been, I think you got kicked out in 91 or something like that. So then I introduced myself to Lou Barlow and I'm like, hey, how are you? I'd like to interview for my fanzine. And he's like, great, let's set it up. We'll exchange numbers and we'll make it happen. And then I said, oh, I'm a fan of the album. And then he talked to me for 2.5 hours about Jay Maskus on the street, a complete stranger. 2.5 hours.
Were you rolling tape?
No.
This was just a conversation.
Yeah. He explained every reference in the songs. He was just like, Freed Pig, when I mentioned the salt shaker, that's because we'd be on tour, and I'd have the salt shaker, and I would deliberately do just move it to make Jay crazy at the table. And would just wind him, and then you listen to the song, he's just like, and he mentions the salt shaker in the song. Just to, like, but because, like, they had just released The Wagon was the single that came out. The Dinosaur Jr. single was on Sub Pop. And that was like Dinosaur Jr. at one point had this super lineup where it was like half of the band Ball became, or Gumball became Dinosaur Jr. There's like 6 people in Dinosaur Jr. for like 4 months. And they also played as the Velvet Monkeys. And there was like a show I saw at Maxwell's where it was like, why am I telling these stories tonight?
Is no,
this
it's boring? Good.
Is this
no.
incredibly boring?
I miss Maxwell's.
Thank you. You're sweet to say that, Pat.
And Wetlands, to be honest.
So it was like,
great venue.
Velvet Monkeys was Don Fleming's band. Mm-hmm. He was in the Velvet Monkeys, then Ball, which became Gumball, and now he runs the Lou Reed archives.
Wow.
Don Fleming. And produced everybody's favorite teenage fan club record, Bandwagon-esque. Is that it? Mm-hmm. Right? Yes. And, it was him and then the other guys in Ball. And then it was like Thurston Moore, Jay Maskus, Julie Kayfritz. And I saw the show at Maxwell's where they were the Velvet Monkeys. It was like 6 people on stage. It was like, it's just a super group.
And for Maxwell's, that's a tight stage.
Was a tight stage. And all I can say is to go back to Sidebar 55. Those were the days, right? And you knew where you were then, right? Mm-hmm. Girls were girls and men were men. Mister, we could use a man like, a woman like Julie K. Fritz again. Let the change, that'd be me doing the thing.
What if Forever Dog was, the thing that set them apart was they had an upright piano just in the corner. And I could walk over and somehow I knew that song.
I'm telling you, I think you might have just figured something out.
Musical improv podcasts.
Yeah. And it would be a good, you know, it would also be good for, is if it was like an upright piano, you could lift the lid up and that's where we could hold the hose. You could just pin the hose under the lid.
I would believe James Adomian is somehow fluent in piano.
James, bring the cup back.
I would believe he'd just be able to walk over a piano and somehow play old ragtime or something.
Does Kevin McDonald come by here often? No, he's in Toronto?
Winnipeg.
Winnipeg. Yeah. Ah, Winnipeg. I was just reading a book about the editor who, this guy who edited, Carrie and Star Wars and all these movies, and he was like, they did Phantom of the Paradise and it did not do well. It was very popular in Winnipeg, though. It's like, how do you know that? Like in 74, you knew the movie was popular in Winnipeg? Things I didn't know about that, though, they made the movie Phantom of the Paradise and they got immediately in trouble with Phantom of the Opera. Universal was down on them. The Phantom, the old newspaper comic, but the crazy one was that Led Zeppelin, Peter Grant, the Led Zeppelin's manager, because the character was Swan and his company was called Swan Song in the movie, and they were like, our record label's called Swan Song. and they were like, we're not going to let you put any mention of that in it, because they also had a scene where the guy gets electrocuted in Phantom of the Paradise. That in real life, that guy was a friend of Peter Grant's. Like, that was based on a real life incident. Peter Grant knew that guy and was just like, I don't care if I spend every cent I have, you're not putting Swan Song in the movie that where you did a simulated version of a guy I knew dying. So they had to like pull it from every scene. They'd like cut tracking shots early because you'd see the word Swan Song. Yeah, man, I got a million of them. So, doing the Grown Ups 3 reading on Tuesday. Pant.
Yes, as this is playing or airing, you'll will be on those on that stage.
Yeah,
and
well, I won't.
Well,
I won't be there.
We got a few days to convince you. No, you never know. Maybe you'll catch a glimpse of Tom.
Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. And maybe I'll just spend the night at Paquito Moss.
I'd love
seeing
to.
How many ahi tuna burritos I can eat in one sitting. Right?
But
one is the number still.
It's a sold out show.
It is.
And we have an all star lineup. And all the money's going to Australian wildfire relief. So we're doing well with the fundraising. I don't know what the total will be by the end of the show, but we're hoping we get close to 10K because we'll be at We hit 5K in New York, and we'll be with the sold out number. We'll also be passing a bucket. So
sure.
And you know, some people have asked me what you know. We recorded these shows with audio and video, and we're talking about maybe doing something with that. We'll figure it out, but hopefully we'll be putting money towards those downloads. To the funding as well. So we'll stay tuned. We don't know when, but eventually you'll have access to that.
Awesome. And the show was awesome last week?
Oh, it was incredible. One of my favorite times on a stage, maybe.
Who played? Kevin Corrigan played Adam Sandler.
Kevin Corrigan, who we know is a good actor and friend of the show, I just was like, all right, well, he's playing Adam Sandler. Like, him just reading the phone book is great. But like, him doing that, it's gonna go beyond anything we can expect, but like, there were moments where it was Kevin reading the script, sounding like Kevin. It was a very, for you guys, he's a very, you know, New York sounding persona. And then there was times where it just sounded like Adam Sandler. And I don't know if he was trying to channel Adam or think about it in his head, but there was times where he just like let out a line, like especially that big closing monologue that you have.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. It was just like, we were like, I was sitting next to Brett and I was looking at him like, what?
That's very exciting.
Like, this is just, it was beyond.
Who's playing Sandler at the LA one?
I can announce it's John Daly, who tonight, we're pre-recording this, he's on Curb Your Enthusiasm playing.
Boom, boom, boom.
Right? Larry's Mailman. Yeah.
This is what I'll say about Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's funny. Just track the reality, guys, on it. That's the only time I check out. There's like an episode. Remember the episode where like there was a line at like the men's room, and then Larry's like, "I'm gonna use the handicap stall."
Yes.
And then people are just like, "Hey, you can't go in there." It's like I've never been in a public bathroom where that was not just fair game.
Yeah.
The handicap. Hey, someone who disabled somebody. Might need the bathroom.
That made me think about that a lot. And I was like, am I not supposed to be
using... faulty logic.
Am I not supposed to be using this bathroom? Because
no! You use it. Just keep it free if somebody who actually needs it. Hey! Get out of there! Fake logic. Come on.
Yeah, that was a stretch.
Why is every podcast network is either a dog or a wolf? What is this? You guys... got some weird Dr. Doolittle up in here? This strange. Boy, Dr. Doolittle also. More like Dr. Doolittle business at the box office.
Is it out? Right?
Yeah, came and went, right? Oh, man. Yeah, that Dr. Doolittle, Dr. Doolittle 1 week at the box office is like 7 years.
for good movies. Yup.
My head hurt when I went to see Star Wars, and all the trailers that came out mm-hmm. before the movie just were like punishment. It was Dr. Doolittle. It was the current Bad Boys, you know, movie. Mm-hmm. And all these bad Disney kids movies, too. And I was just, my head was just like throbbing. I was like, I didn't even want to see the I didn't really want to see it to begin with, but.
I didn't see it yet. Go when nowhere, right? We ain't going nowhere. We can't be stopped now. Why? Because we're bad boys for life.
That might be the best part of the movie is hearing that song.
Is that in it?
I would guess.
Remember that video that had
Travis Barker.
Travis Barker and Pat, was the announcer, hi, it's me, Pat.
From Inside Sport. Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like over the fence, like.
We're doing it live, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we're doing it live as,
I thought that was him.
No. No, we're doing it live as, Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, you're right.
Pat,
whatever his name is, had something too that was viral and
he
off.
He had a dirty phone call, I think, that someone released. But he was like, remember, he was like grooving to when the bad boys rolled into the neighborhood. Yeah, exactly.
He sticks over his fence and he's throwing his hand up in the air.
And that's the one where like Ben Stiller was like, oh, hey, like doing that version of Ben Stiller where he's always like, oh, hey, what's going on, guys?
Yeah.
What's the best Ben Stiller role? There's only one thing to say. Happy Gilmore. Right? Remember when he goes? When she's like, could I trouble you for a warm glass of milk? And he goes, you could trouble me for a glass of shut the hell up. He's like, and he does, like, I forget how he said it, but then he just says, like, you will, oh, that's going to drive me nuts. That's the best Ben Stiller role. The handlebar mustache.
Yeah, I forgot.
Uncredited.
Really?
Uncredited.
Were you aware that there was a Sandler con this weekend?
Where was that?
I think it was just somebody's house, right?
And why was I not the...
I was going to tell
why
you.
Why was I not the guest of honor?
Was it yesterday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why would I not get invited to that?
We should have stopped
Who organized
by?
It?
I think we need to introduce our guests because they have the info.
Oh, this is going to bother me now.
They have the whole info story behind it.
Well, let's bring to the show. We got rock stars on the show today, right?
Bona fide.
Rock stars. We have Mike Kroll, friend of the show. Ben, you've called before. Is this the first time you've been here?
No.
Wait, no. You were in the studio at WFMU.
Yes.
But did you come on the air?
I don't think I said anything because
but you watched a little
I was
bit?
Around, yeah, people more important. I watched, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He said, like, can I trouble you for a glass of warm milk? It helps me to sleep. And he goes, like, you will sleep or I will put you to sleep, is what he says.
That's what he says, yeah.
Like, no, but you can trouble me for a glass of shut the hell up.
And then she says, my fingers hurt. And he's like, yeah. Well, now your back's going to hurt because you just pulled landscaping
duty. And then that other lady's like, mister, mister. When she jumped on the hood of the car.
Yes.
Mister, mister.
Yeah.
It's one of the best movies ever, if not the best movie.
It's the best Sandler movie, I think.
Yeah, I think it might be. And Allison. Allison what?
Crutchfield.
Crutchfield.
You always forget my last name.
I thought it was Crunchfield.
You always say Crunchfield, which is, I feel like, something that people said to me, like, to prank me when I was
anybody,
a kid.
So Crunchfield it is. No, it isn't.
It's not Crunchfield.
Oh, it's one of those things where I'm like, it's not Crunchfield. It's not Crunchfield.
You always want to say Crunchfield.
I want to say Cloverfield.
That's fine. Right. That would be better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Think of, like, crutches.
Crutch. Like a field of crutches.
Like a field of crutches.
Now I can picture it now. A field of crutches.
I did want to say that.
Allison Crutchfield.
That I think the best Ben Stiller role is when he plays Tony Perkis in the movie Heavyweights. I don't know if you saw that movie.
Oh, I did see. Judd Apatow. The Judd Apatow, probably Judd Apatow's best movie.
Yeah. It's a great one.
Yeah.
It's a similar energy because he's, you know.
I like bad guy Ben Stiller.
He's a bad guy. Yeah, he's the villain.
Happy Gilmore, Heavyweights. Dodgeball.
That's good. Thank you.
Right?
You can't. Mike's adjusting my mic here.
I don't want to watch him. Because like, we watch him in like Meet the Parents. He's just like, he's like, oh no, I got to get in a Speedo. And he's like completely ripped. And it's like supposed to be like an embarrassing scene where it's just like, he had to wear this tiny bathing suit. And the guy's like completely jacked. And you're just like, mm-hmm. What's this guy embarrassed about?
Mm.
If I was ripped like that dude, I'd only be in a Speedo. I'd be Rollins. I'd be like I'd be the Rollins of Speedos.
Yeah.
Rollins 85 walking around. You ever read in Get in the Van when he's just like, someone stole my shorts backstage at the show. I washed them in the sink and then someone stole them. Did you ever read that book, Mike?
Yes.
No, I didn't. Oh.
I did. A long time ago. It's bleak.
It's bleak, but it's a funny thing because he's like, the first part, like parts of it, he's like, I didn't write diaries for some of this stuff. So he's like him going, like telling parts of it as like past the experience of mm-hmm. being in Black Flag. He's just like, well, this is a, like the 84 tour was a good tour and you know, we're playing good places. And then when the original diaries pick up, it's just like, life is an endless nightmare.
Exactly.
Everything is hell.
It's all low points.
I was stuck in the shed, which was not a shed, by the way. By all accounts, it was a guest house.
Mm-hmm.
Shed. Makes it sound like he's sleeping against a rake. It was like, cause you know, you didn't read it, Mike, but it's like, he says yeah. like, he was living in Greg Ginn's parents' backyard.
Right.
And he like lived in, and he was always like, I'm in the shed. He called it, it's like, no, you're the one calling it a shed. It's not a shed. It's a guest house. Just because it wasn't, it's probably one of these nice houses that has like a half on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like where you're just like, that's a pretty nice house. It's just behind a nicer house. It's the only difference. So now what's up with Mike Kroll and Allison Crutchfield?
That was better. Nothing. We have nothing to plug or talk about. We're just here as friends. We have no musical projects that are happening besides the Grown Ups 3 reading that will be the musical guests.
You will.
We have nothing prepared.
Done zero practicing.
Okay.
So
we're still a little bit unsure of what we're supposed to do.
Now you're both rock stars, true or false?
False.
No, that's
false.
True. That's true. Incorrect. Allison, you have a solo career and a band.
That's true.
And the band is called Swearin'.
That is true.
And when I talk about Philly, you're like, ooh, because you the band is from Philly.
That's correct.
But you didn't grow up in Philly. You grew up in Arkansas.
Alabama.
No.
You also,
no, it was Arkansas.
It was Alabama. You always think that. Arkansas. It's Allison Crutchfield from Arkansas.
Yeah.
That's me.
Wait, I think we booked the wrong guest. We were supposed to book Allison Crutchfield. You know the one from Arkansas?
The pride of Arkansas.
Where in Alabama did you grow up?
Birmingham.
So when Jason from Huntsville calls up the show, and he calls it, how far is Huntsville from Birmingham?
Huntsville is about 2 hours.
Okay.
I think that he and my sister have like connected at some point on the internet because of there's just uh-huh. like very few people yeah. from Alabama.
And
but
your sister is named Allison also.
Her name is Allison too, yes.
Okay, Allison too, with
yes.
the number after
mm-hmm.
it. No, your sister's named Katie.
Yes, Katie.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Katie also is a rock star.
That's true. I right. would call Katie a rock star.
Of course, I knew you would call her one, but not yourself.
Exactly.
That's the most Merge thing I've ever heard in my life. That's like Merge Records. That's like the
personified.
Handbook.
Yes.
Like someone else is a rock star, not us. No, you're a rock star.
Aggressively
I
humble.
I saw the band. I saw you solo and with Swearin'. I saw you at Doug Wesson's Troubadour.
Yeah.
Opening for Mary Timoney.
That's true.
With Nicole Lawrence on guitar. When they would play back-to-back.
That was cool.
It was like you'd think it was like the Eagles.
I know. It was awesome.
I've never been to the Troubadour.
Doug Wesson's Troubadour?
Yeah.
Well, get ready. Do you like a venue that seems like it got squished and like pushed up somehow and has like an unnatural balcony?
Yes.
You do? Okay. Well, I'm going to keep talking then. Do you like... Oh, Mike is so mad right now. His favorite venue.
You don't. I mean, that's why I like it, because it feels squished, and you, every seat in the house is a good seat.
I was just asking him. Why put a judgment on it.
Why don't people just call it the Troubadour? Why do we have to put that guy's name in front of it?
Well, because he owns the place.
Yeah.
I think most people do just call it the Troubadour. I think Tom's just being funny.
No, I'm being respectful. Did you see Rocket Man?
I did not.
He's
no,
in it. Doug Weston is in it. Doug Weston's in Rocket Man.
The actual guy or a person?
Someone's playing Doug Weston.
Him. Is he no longer with us?
I don't know.
Who plays him?
He is. Someone.
Just someone?
An actor.
Yeah, but nobody calls it like Paul Colby's The Bitter End.
Well, because he doesn't put it on his own sign.
I think he does.
Well, then people are not showing respect.
Yeah.
I show respect to Mr. Weston.
Yeah.
I was like when people like call people that don't deserve respect Mr. Like these dumb Patriots fans when they're always like, Mr. Kraft, like the owner of the Patriots, Bob Kraft, they're always like, well, Mr. Kraft said this, Mr. Kraft. Mr. What do I, why are we showing this guy? Why are we calling him Mr.? I don't know him. Call him Mr. What am I, the lady in Happy Gilmore? Right? Mr. And he poured the chips on her. Remember, he's like, yeah, eat something. We should just watch Happy Gilmore right now.
For the rest
What's
of the
better, Happy Gilmore or Billy Madison?
Happy Gilmore.
Yes.
Same, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a telling thing when people say Billy Madison's better. It's very telling.
It might be also how old they were when Billy Madison came out.
It came out like 8 months later.
That's true.
Yeah.
They were back to back pretty much. They were like one finished production. Yeah, they were filming them at the same yes, time.
Exactly. Yeah. It was like the Spanish Dracula. They were just shooting it at night. Because actually, they shot the Spanish Dracula on the set of the original Dracula, and they would film at night. When they would shoot the English Dracula, at night they would shoot a Spanish language version. And a lot of the camera shots were a little more interesting in the Spanish Dracula. Movie nerds, the worst. That's why I like talking about Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore. Drives me nuts. Talk about The Conjuring.
I love The Conjuring.
You do?
I didn't have a chance to chime in there, but I think it's a fantastic.
Let's talk.
It's so scary. You know, the first one is terrifying.
The first one is incredible.
First of all, the cast. Lily Taylor.
Amazing.
Vera Farmiga.
Fantastic.
Patrick Wilson. Ron Livingston.
Yeah. And he's in the second one, right?
Sorry now?
Is he in the second one?
Ron Livingston? No. He was the dad in the first one. The second one's in England.
Right. Okay. Got it.
And there's the really good kid actors in the Conjuring movies.
Mm-hmm. What's everybody's favorite or scariest scene?
Feely mealy. Put your hands in Annabelle Comes Home into the game. Do you know that thing?
No.
There's a board game like Feely. It was a 70s board game. Called Feely Mealy, where you had to stick your hand in it and like pull out a card or mm-hmm. pull out a key or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's in it. And it's like, let's play Feely Mealy. First of all.
But that's in Annabelle.
Annabelle right. Comes Home, yes.
Oh, okay.
I thought your question involved the Conjureverse.
No.
Conjuring movies.
But go on.
No, we're only talking two then. So then I would probably say it would be the weird, the cranky thing that you do when it pops up. Those nursery rhymes.
I got freaked out when they were walking up the stairs, and all the investigators with the flash bulbs,
mm-hmm.
and then you see like what's happening. It's creepy. And also when they're playing, I guess they had kind of made up this game for the movie, but hide and clap, right?
Oh, I didn't like that game at all.
And then the ghost hands come out, and you see it. That's when you see it for the first time. Oh, yeah. Oof.
Also PG-13.
Crazy, right?
Nobody dies in The Conjuring or Conjuring 2.
Right.
People eat it in Annabelle.
What about you?
You know, it's been a while since I've seen the movie, so I can't think of
it. It's been a while. It's a great song.
That's, I do that all the time.
Did you write that?
Every time I say it's been a while.
I wish.
You do that, really, Allison? You do that?
I do that. He does it to me.
It's been a while.
All the time.
Right?
At least once
a week.
How did
it feel? How did it feel to be on the wrong end of it?
It felt like you took it from
me. How does it feel? Right?
Yeah.
Stained.
If I say it's just one of those days,
Oh, yeah.
It's just one of those days.
Yeah, right.
Comes in with that. Yeah.
Like when you listen to these backing tracks of Limp Bizkit, you know what you realize is that Nookie has some pretty sweet keyboard action in it. It's kind of just like realize.
I did it all for the Nookie. Come on.
Nope, not that. Let's find the.
I did it all for the Nookie.
Have it loaded up here. Is this it?
Like a chunk. Like a chunk. Like a chunk.
Not that one. Here we go. This should be it. That's what we should be my That's not it. Wait.
Yeah, because that's cause guitar 80, and bass. Right.
Why did it take so long?
I think it's one chord of keys.
Did I wait so long? The boom, boom.
I have way too many isolated tracks for Nookie.
I think we pulled that one for you.
And I can't find my Nookie backing tracks.
Have either of you ever seen
I did it all for the Nookie.
No.
Come on.
Sadly.
I had the pleasure to.
I did it all for the
98.
Sorry, Pat. Mm. Yeah. 5 years.
Like a chump. Like a chump.
It came out of a toilet
like a chump.
In the beginning.
Like a chump. Like a chump.
It was at Ozfest.
Who else played Ozfest 98?
So sorry.
Well, we were there for Ozzy.
Gotcha.
But like we.
Why did it take so long?
Oh, let's watch this new band. Let's watch this up and coming band.
And it came out of a turlet.
Because it was 98. They didn't have a single yet. So they were just like kind of touring the.
They didn't do. Because I got to have war. Right?
What was that?
Faith.
Oh, no. I don't think. Maybe they were starting to cover it. I don't know. But yeah, we just watched their set. It's like me and my friend Alex. He had tickets. He gave me one. And mm-hmm. they emerged from a toilet. That's the most memorable thing I
How do you
took
tap
away.
That? Yeah.
I wouldn't mind hanging out with Durst.
I know you wouldn't. We're trying to make it happen.
I like him. Any Durst, Fred, Robert.
Just give the guy a Durst.
He's making films now, isn't he?
He is. He's made more movies than I have.
Wow.
He did a John Travolta movie. He made a movie called The Leftovers with Ice Cube.
Really?
Wow.
As the star about 10 years ago.
This is Fred Durst?
Yeah. I used to see him at the, years ago, I saw him at the 101 Cafe and see Fred Durst there.
We ate there yesterday.
We ate there yesterday.
Did you get the cake in a jar?
No.
What's that?
It's cake in a jar.
It's cake in a jar. It's actually not that complicated. But this is the way that cake in a jar works. You get the cake in a jar. Now, Brett, you might want to write this down. You go to the 101. You get the cake in a jar, and it's a mason jar filled with cake. And then here's the trick with it. When I would stay at the Best Western that was attached to the 101 mm-hmm. cafe, I would go, not the highway. You bring the jar up to your room, right? And you bring it back. They give you a little discount if you bring the jar back on your next cake in a jar. Keeps you hooked.
Whoa. Is it still a Best Western or is it a fancy hotel now?
It's still a Best Western.
It's still
a
Best Western.
Yeah.
It seemed fancy.
It's not fancy.
I don't know why I got that vibe.
The frame pictures?
Yeah, frame pictures of Don Knotts and Lillian Gish.
Yes.
It's one of those places that has literally the corniest thing where it's just like employees only or Angelina Jolie, like written on like a sign. Like, it's like, yeah, Angelina Jolie's going to use the bathroom at the 101 Cafe.
So you used to see Fred Durst there.
You used to see Fred Durst there, and I felt like it was one of those things that people say, like, oh, that guy is an alcoholic. Why? I see him at the bar every night. Every single night I go, he's at the bar.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, oh, this loser's always eating at the 101 Cafe. It's like, how do you know? Well, I ate there six times last week. I have two meals a day there, and yeah, but he's such a loser, he's there all the time.
We saw some people that could have easily played in whatever the current version of Limp Bizkit is that we're sitting. Did you guys catch mm-hmm. the rock and roll?
Yeah, there's a rock and roll.
I was wondering about them.
I was wondering. It was something that we all acknowledged internally but didn't bring up to each other.
The guy who got up to pay the bill had a chain wallet and a Smashing Pumpkins shirt.
Well, I'm glad he paid the bill. There was someone who
that's right.
Our waitress, somebody walked out on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A couple. Mm. We felt really bad.
I was just, was it a Smashing Pumpkins? It was a Smashing Pumpkins shirt.
Yeah, it was 1979 with the.
I saw it said 1979, but I didn't see any kind of other logo.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
Something like
we
that.
We saw them not that long ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't even know. Swear. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Do you got an instrumental version?
It's a good karaoke song.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. What do you do at karaoke, Allison?
I don't do karaoke.
What?
I know.
Why?
I just don't. I hate, I have a lot, I'm very shy about it.
You're shy, but you can sing your own songs in front of people that paid that you don't know.
It's totally different.
Not in front of five friends.
No, I think the last time I did karaoke was after a swearin' show in New York that you were at.
Oh, wait. At the...
Yes, you were there. You actually, you both...
I was there, but I didn't stay for that part. It got really late by the time everyone was going in. It was at the Greenpoint... What is it called?
It's called Brooklyn Night Bazaar?
Brooklyn Bazaar. Brooklyn Bazaar.
I think it just closed.
Yeah,
that was the last time I did karaoke, so it actually wasn't that long ago. I did Every Day is a Winding Road by Sheryl Crow.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Well, Pat likes to do If It Makes You Happy.
Yes.
That's also a great one. That era...
Big Sheryl Crow fan.
Yeah, same.
Mm-hmm. Unironic, just lover.
Me too.
How about you, Mike Kroll, rock star, whose latest album, Power Chords... has been out 1 year now. This is the 1 year anniversary. Congratulations
Thank
on
you.
That.
Yes,
Merge Records, full length. What was it like to have a full length, first of all, finally? Because you kept flirting with you had EPs and 10 inches, and you're always circling the big statement. And then you finally did it. You finally slid all the chips in.
Well, so I'd argue that the other albums were albums, full lengths. Mm-hmm. They're just short albums, you know?
Okay.
It's like the Johnny Ramone quote of, you know, they played a show, and the promoter came up to him afterwards and said, you guys didn't play an hour of music. And he said, we played an hour of music in 45 minutes mm-hmm. or something like that.
No, I understand that. But you also understand what I'm saying as well.
Yes, I do. Yeah, I mean, it took a while.
I'm not putting the form down. I like a 10-inch record, and I like somebody who doesn't outstay their welcome. I always respect that, and I appreciated that about what you did.
Thank you.
I was not saying it as some sort of judgment.
I know. A lot of people did say that as a form of judgment.
Oh, well,
though.
I never would say. Yeah. You know what a fan I was of those records.
I appreciate that.
But but it is as you did take what, like the running time of Power Chords versus.
It's like double. Yeah.
So that's, yeah.
So it's more.
So you had
more content.
Turkey 17 minutes?
16, I think.
Okay.
In a way, it was your first album. In other ways, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's 18. But yeah, it's a longer album.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
But how did that feel to do that? To go, let's do something around the 30-minute mark?
It felt like it was something I needed to do to prove that I could do that. And, it felt good. It feels like a full album. You know, like when you listen to it, it feels like a complete statement.
Uh-huh.
Where the other ones might have felt short.
Sure.
So I'm proud of it. I'm glad I followed through with doing it.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Well, I'm proud of you for doing it.
Thank you.
And do you look back at that now and do you wish you had done it earlier or are you happy with how you've been doing things?
I wish I would have done it earlier. But I'm happy that I needed to take the steps to get there.
Of course.
Yeah. I think if I would have tried to do something longer it wouldn't have been as fleshed out and as thought out as this one ended up being.
Sure.
I took my time. But.
And do you look at what's next? Are you going to do your Sandinista next? You're going to just dump every thought on everyone, half-cooked dub mixes of things?
No. But honestly, it took me so long to do that record, and I did it as a more professional record. Went to a studio in Nashville and I worked with the producer and I really spent my time with it. I think because of that process, I want to just, the next thing I do, I want it to be real fast and dirty and, you know.
Sure.
Back to basics, but an album's worth of songs.
Sure.
So back to how I did the other albums, which is a little bit more.
You know what show we did together that wasn't the best show? It was Jonah Ray's show.
We did. Yeah. We've done that together.
That was me, you, and John Worcester.
John was there too.
Yes.
Jonah Radio.
Jonah Radio.
Jonah Radio.
Which you've outlived another podcast.
No, he's still doing it.
He's still doing it, yeah.
Well,
we were
sorry,
just on Jonah Radio a couple months ago.
That was over a year ago, I think. But yeah,
here's something you may not know about me. I haven't paid for a drink in over 4 years.
He stole Tom's
right, yeah.
Beer.
No, I'm aware.
The words.
Yeah. Yes.
Jonah Ray's reading a part in Grown Ups 3, so we'll see him on Tuesday.
Jonah Ray saying that is like Fred is like Robert Durst talking into the live mic on his thing. What was that show again called?
Jinx.
The Jinx.
Killed them all, of course.
Who is the Jinx?
There's going to be a season two of that, right?
They revealed it very quickly. Who is the Jinx?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be season two.
Yes. Right, they're following the trial. Because the trial's happening, right?
Well, he's murdering more people, so.
I hope
it's show business, not show friendship. You're friends with Durst. You got to get it, right?
Wow.
We're trying to... Yeah, there. So you're gonna do. You're gonna. When's the next record gonna be, Mike? Next year, 2021.
Yeah. I hope so. I mean, I would.
I'm not
hope
rushing
to,
you.
You never know.
No,
though.
I know. I would like to get a record out this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you know the wait time that it takes to once you hand in a record and to do it properly. Is,
sure.
You need a good amount of time.
Well, when would you like to get it off your plate?
I would like to get. Allison and I are getting married, and so I would like to have something.
To who? Each other?
Each other, yeah.
What?
What?
Yes.
What? Remember when Darth Vader said, what? Remember that?
Star Wars A New Hope.
Is A New Hope?
Star Wars 77, let's not.
Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. He went, what? It's like, I have you now.
You got a sound clip of that one?
We should.
Exactly. And he's like, you're all clear, kid, right?
Yeah.
I never need to see Star Wars when or any of that stuff again.
Han saves them from behind.
And then Darth Vader goes, what?
Yeah. This all-powerful guy who could hold out a hand and absorb bullets in the next movie didn't know that there were shots coming behind.
Wait, Podcast The Ride is on this network? Really? Scott Geardner. He's a good guy, good guy.
Where are you seeing that?
Right, I see a sticker right there.
Oh, yeah.
Stickers, eh? Stickers are the new signing a table. Now, Allison Crutchfield.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, your sister has a record coming out.
She does. March 27th.
Looks
just
awesome.
Announced.
And you were saying it's not very good.
No. No, I think it's great, and I feel like, I had absolutely nothing to do with this one. It's the first time in a long time, so I feel at liberty to say it's great.
Sure, you love it.
I love it.
Does she send you demos? Do you send each other demos when you're working on a record?
We do, yeah. We're kind of the first person who hears any song of each other's. I heard demos, and then we were able to stop in the studio when she was working on it and kind of hear her tracking, which was nice. But yeah, it's amazing.
Enough about your sister, though. What's up next for you?
Because
Swearin' put their record out.
Swearin' put a record out, year and a half ago. Actually, tomorrow is the 3-year anniversary of when my solo record came out. So it's been a very long time.
That's awesome, because I saw you in February of that year. It was 3 years ago?
It was 3 years ago.
You sure wasn't two?
2017.
I think that we met and you saw me play 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But that. My record had been out for a full year.
Oh, that's right. That makes sense.
Yes.
Yes.
I've been taking it slow. I've been starting to work on a new solo record. That's the next thing. And I kind of am like compiling songs and demoing them, slowly. And I'm finally feeling ready to work on them, because I haven't been touring much and I'm kind of just taking a break.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think that's the next thing.
Sure. And what kind of band do you want to back you up on this one?
I really want to do like, I just want to have like a classic power pop band. I want to like basically just standard rock formation, like two guitars, bass, drums.
Sure.
Very little keyboard.
Very little keyboard. No multi-instrumentalists just covering a variety of things.
Probably not.
No.
It's not really my vibe.
Worked for King Crimson.
Worked for King Crimson, for sure. Maybe not for me.
They would have a guy who just threw leaves at tambourines.
That's the Izzy from Guns N' Roses. That's like the.
But he wrote all the songs. Izzy was the best part of Guns N' Roses.
But he did. But he also did the odds and ends, and live shows and albums. Yeah.
So he would throw leaves at a tambourine.
He would. I think if there needed to be leaves thrown at a tambourine on a Guns N' Roses, it's like the Izzy.
No, 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 no. It's like. Just weird sounds.
Like a garbage bag full.
Yeah, he was like the guy who was like the best guy in Guns N' Roses, right? Is that true, Mike?
I like Slash.
But in terms of like the songs, I think Izzy wrote the songs.
I didn't know that.
Because then
this
when they got
news
the,
to me.
When they got the other ones, then they couldn't scrape together. They couldn't put no songs together.
Once they lost the core.
Once they lost the main guy. Yeah. Once he bounced. Then suddenly they're asking, what, Matt Sorum to write a song? Hey, Matt, you got any songs?
Tommy. Right? Tommy Stinson, right?
Great guy. Still looking for the Best Show studio.
He's still in Jersey City.
Still driving around Jersey City.
Do you know that story?
No.
He's got three GPSs now.
Okay, so, Tom, please.
Now, here's the story. Everybody's like, Tommy Stinson wants to come on the show.
Mostly Jason, mostly Dudio.
It was Dudio wanted it. Everybody wanted it. Look, I was fine with it.
We were all for it.
Everybody's for it.
But Jason was the most excited about it.
Jason was so excited. Mm-hmm. But everybody was excited. Yeah. I was excited.
I was excited.
So then, but it took more prep for this dumb in-studio appearance to get this guy to show up. And what's he going to do? Show up and play the bass part to Bastards of Young? Can write it,
and we promoted it heavily. Yeah. That like the days leading up, the day of, everyone was, it was like Tommy Stinson, best show night.
And then I knew, like 9 o'clock, he's not here yet, and we were just like, you got to show up at like 8:30. Yeah. 9 o'clock shows up. There's this part of me that's just like, this guy's not going to show up. Like, what happens if he doesn't show up? Then the email comes in saying like, I wonder if I still have the email. That was like one of the funniest emails ever. I'm gonna search.
It's like
who emails when they're running late?
His manager.
9 became 9:05. Okay, 9:50. Like 9:30. We weren't worried. You know, people come later, and then it was like 10:30, 10:45, and we were like, and Jason's like in the street. Jason's like looking in the street, like trying to flag down this guy in a car. Did he have a rent-a-car or something? He said he was driving himself, right?
He said he was driving himself. Hey, here's the manager. Hey, I'm so sorry, but a personal emergency has come up and Tommy can't make it. I am so sorry, and I know this is last minute, but unavoidable. If you want to reschedule, we'd be happy to do that. Yeah, emergency. And then I was just like, I could either back away from this or I could lean all the way into it. And I was like, I'm leaning all the way into this.
Yeah.
This guy just, so then, and I'm just looking at other emails of me talking about it when it happened. I'm seeing like, I see me just being like, look at this. An email from, look who that email's from, Pat. Don't read the person's name, but read that email.
Out loud?
The second sentence, like,
I was just catching up on the Tommy Stinson episode on the way back to work, and your Pavarotti Perfect Day was a phenomenal close. I really hope we cross paths soon. So yeah,
who wrote that?
John Oliver.
Yes, John Oliver loved hearing Tommy Stinson burn me. So then he was just like, I couldn't find the studio, and he's like, I had two GPSs, and they were just. And then, like,
was his line.
That was his line.
Two GPSs going at the same time.
Yeah.
That was the personal emergency?
No, that was his excuse. Like, the story is none of the stories made sense. Suddenly, the manager saying it's a personal emergency. Yeah. Then he's like, I had two GPSs and I couldn't find the place. And then, the truth came out a couple days later where it's just like, he got scared because he saw, like, a apartment. Like, apartments across the street were being, like, had like fences in front of them
because they're being like
because they were being remodeled. They were being like gentrified.
Part of it was that they were under construction. They were being built.
Yeah,
and then and he thought it was like he took it as it being a bad neighborhood or something.
Yeah.
And like we record the best show in not a commercial building. Yeah. It's just like
guy from The Replacements won't get out of a car because he's scared. Yeah.
And he was just like, I don't know if we, as producers, explained that, you know, it's just like, it looks like a residence, but we have a studio in there. Like, come in. Like, I don't think, maybe it was on us. Mm-hmm. We should have explained it. But, like, that's no reason to bail completely.
I'm gonna say it's not on you.
But also, thank you. Mm-hmm. But also, like, we've been trying to rack our brains since that happened. How long ago was that? 2017?
So yeah.
Two, 3 years. We're like, does that mean he had the old school Garmin on the windshield and his phone? Or does that mean he had two apps open, like Google Maps and the iMaps, like going at the same, like, or is he just completely full?
Well, look, again,
it doesn't matter.
What was he going to do? Really, what was he going to do? Tell me about what it was like to watch Paul Westerberg write all the songs?
You never know.
This guy was a passable bass player.
We'll never know. You know, around the same time.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. Is he one of your heroes?
No.
No, I didn't mean to say it so sarcastic. Is he somebody you admire?
No.
It's okay if he is.
I mean, I
admire plenty of
jerks.
I like
his contributions.
Yeah.
I like Bash and Pop.
I was about to say he was out there for Bash and Pop. That's what brought him to the East Coast. And he was around the New York area. Todd booked him on.
O'Phonic.
Todd O'Phonic booked him at Monty Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it that he was appearing on Todd's show live? Something like that. But here's what happened. They had a tour bus that they were traveling in.
Bash and Pop had a tour bus?
Kid you not. Mm-hmm. And they were, it was the giant full, like, full size deal. You've seen the FMU parking lot. They allowed him to pull in there. They asked all the employees to not be in the lot that day. They pulled into the lot and just stayed in there until, I don't even think that they played Monty Hall. I think that they went in to
like an on-air thing.
Like, they were on Todd's show. So they made, like, people run out and get them, like, food from the diner down the street and bring it back, like, to go, some sort of, like, bottle of wine or liquor. And then when they were finally called to the studio is when they left and went up there. So it was just, like, total rock star treatment just for a free-form radio appearance.
Yeah. Great use of resources.
Great use of resources. So. Yeah.
Meanwhile, you got Swear, and they're jammed in a van.
Swear and James Ecano.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. If you're leaning, you could be cleaning, right? Is that a Mike Watt thing?
Yeah, we have a sign that says that in our van.
What's he say? If you're not playing, you're paying.
Yes,
I think so. Yeah.
Puts everybody to work. Are you going to go to San Pedro?
I was about to say we're heading there.
All right.
I'm going to just show.
Not a whole lot to see. You're not going to suddenly see a giant
Mike Watt
giant,
statue.
There's not a giant Minutemen statue there. It's just a place where a lot of boats coming through. But you get the idea what made them.
Yeah.
You maybe see the library that they would go into to, like, search for facts when D. Boone and Mike Watt would, like, argue about stuff. They'd be like, we're going to the library to settle it.
See if anyone still works there.
Yeah. So, where were we at now? What were we talking about? Your sister's record.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to work on a solo album, another solo album.
Yes.
Is there another Swearin' album in the cards?
I'm sure there will be at some point. I feel like we're just, like, in a good place to take our time with it.
Sure.
We're all doing a million things.
Yeah.
Now I live out here. Everybody else is in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were they a part of the festivities when the Eagles won the Super Bowl?
I was under the impression that everybody was. Yeah.
Like, everyone came out in the streets.
Everyone in Philadelphia was in the streets just walking around.
Remember when that one, what did the one guy eat? Throw up or something?
Yeah. My favorite clip is the person who rode a four-wheeler up the Rocky Stairs. That's like the best clip.
Do you think, what is the percentage of Philly residents that know there's, like, art inside that
building
at the top of the stairs? It's just not at the top of it. Rocky considers it a successful workout.
I say like 15.
15% know that there's, like, the a most amazing art. Just keep going, and it's like it's a museum filled with stuff, not just a Rocky statue. Well, no, they put the stairs behind it. You gotta have something, because if you just run up to the statue, that's not impressive. I did like in Creed Creed 2 when he went up the steps. Well, Creed, he went up the steps with Rocky and they were going slow up the steps.
I know in Rocky 5, they actually, at the end of Rocky 5, the worst Rocky, they go up the stairs he goes up, he like jogs up the stairs with his son, and it's just, it's them reaching the top. And then it's his son being like, yeah, dad, they actually have art in here. And they're, and it's him, his dad, it's his son like showing his dad, like, you know, we could actually go inside. It's like, oh, they actually,
yeah, I don't want to get
to they actually that. Tip the hat to the museum.
Yeah.
At one point. The almost last Rocky movie.
Except for now, there has been three more.
Three more since then.
Creed 3.
20-year gap.
Do you think Creed 3 will be corny the way Rocky 3 was corny?
Like a robot and all this stuff. Hopefully. I haven't seen Creed 2 yet, but...
It's good.
Yeah.
It's not as good as it's not as good as Creed. Did you see Creed?
I didn't. Mike just watched it for the first time, though.
Did you cry? Did it make you cry? Are you a soft touch?
Yes.
Of course he is.
I did not cry, but...
Okay.
But I did like it, and I saw Creed 2 on an airplane, and I liked that.
Okay. Creed 2, when I saw it, I was like, man, this one's not making me cry. Then all of a sudden it, like, got me. It just started... Something was in it. Like, this one's not having the same effect on me than like last 15 minutes of the movie. Bawling my eyes out in a Toronto movie theater. That was a great stretch when I was going to the movies in Toronto and crying at every movie.
That's where you saw Allison too, right?
I saw you on when you were in Toronto for a bit, and you talking about A Star Is Born possessed me to go see it the next day, and I cried.
Mm-hmm. I cried that. I cried during that. Another Philly legend, Kevin Hart.
Mm-hmm.
I saw his movie Night School. That made me cry a little bit.
Really?
When he was just like, I'm not dumb. I was like, he's not dumb. It's all it takes is somebody being like, I'm not dumb.
Yeah.
People think I'm dumb.
Yeah.
But I'm not dumb.
That gets me too.
Me too.
Me too.
Oh my gosh.
Los Angeles. No.
Gary.
Who the hell's that?
Gary in Lipstick City.
Who's that? Pat!
It's me, your pal Pat.
Pat! Where's Dudio?
Dudio's back in New York still, Gary.
Thank God! I can't stand him!
Yeah, Mike's there
Where's
too.
Where's Mike?
Mike's in Bayonne.
Bayonne. You know what Bayonne means?
What does it mean?
Garbage dump.
That's a translation?
Yeah. And who's this?
We got
Mike Kroll.
Allison and Mike.
You ate jazz.
Yes.
Salt peanuts. Salt peanuts. Salt peanuts. Why don't you like jazz? You don't like Coltrane, man? A love supreme. Boo doo boo doo. You don't like it?
Not really, no.
What? What about? So what? You don't like it? Miles Davis?
No.
Sorry, it's not more like music you like. The Rubin News. Yeah, I guess that's what Miles Davis needed. A little more Bram Tchaikovsky. You like them?
No.
You don't like... I guess you don't like power pop.
A certain style of it, I do.
What's your name?
Allison.
Trick question, I know it! Allison Crutchfield! What's up?
What's up, Gary?
Rock and roll! Doing it L.A. style!
Yeah. Gary was in a band, too, for a while.
I have Gary's 7-inch.
Yeah, man. Some pure power pop.
That's right.
I showed how it was done. I still want to do some more. You should back me up.
Yeah. I'll send you a track.
I want a sweet rhythm section.
Okay.
I want to sound like Flea and Chad Smith. Get some real muscle on that thing. Or get some of that backbeat. Like Can. Hey, you. You're losing, you're losing, you're losing, you're losing your vitamin C. Who the hell's that in the corner?
That's Brett.
Brett. What's up, Brett?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. I like that shirt.
Oh, thanks.
Is that, what did you do with the one? Where's the one that you had to buy to get that one for free? Because it's like buy one, get one free. That's the free one. Like, where's the one you had to pay for? Not the one they threw in. Hey, you. You're losing, you're losing, you're losing, you're losing your vitamin C. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. I do karaoke.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, what's a good karaoke song? Garyoke. Get it? Get it? What's a good, what song would you want to hear me do?
Yeah, how about Every Day's a Winding Road by Sheryl Crow?
Nah, I don't do Sheryl Crow songs.
Right. You were talking about the Chili Peps, maybe, Under the Bridge?
Scar Tissue?
Scar tissue with the Manal song. Where the Manal fall.
Danny California.
That was, which one's that again?
It's Danny California, with the Alabama.
Alabama!
Yeah.
Alabama! That's where you're from!
That is where
California,
I'm from.
California, rest in peace. Simultaneous release. That guy can't sing. He's bad.
Kiedis.
You know what? For a guy named Kiedis, he certainly sings out of Kiedis. Get it? Pat, do you get it?
I do.
Look out, mama. There's a white boat coming up the river. That'd be a good one to do, right?
Yeah.
Do you know who that is, Mike?
No.
What? Allison knows who it is.
I don't. Who is it?
Neil Young.
Oh. Yeah.
Ugh. Ooh.
No, we like Neil Young. I just don't.
He has a lot of music. You know. It's hard to know all of it.
Powderfinger. Classic.
Okay.
Who covered Powderfinger, Pat? You know.
Ooh, boy. Kurt Vile.
No, close. New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Side band. One of the best bands from New Jersey.
Side band?
E Street.
E Street band?
No.
No. Who's one of the all-time best bands from New Jersey?
All-time best bands from New Jersey. The Feelies?
Yeah. Who's the side band?
Of the Feelies.
Young Woo. Weckerman sang.
I'm stumped.
Look. Young Woo's the name of the band.
Oh. I don't know.
Look out, mama, there's a white boat coming up the river.
How'd you get here, Gary? How'd you make it over to the West Coast?
I hitchhiked.
You hitchhiked?
No, I flew.
How was that?
Pretty good. What airline did you fly?
What airline did you fly?
What?
I thought you wanted me to ask you. I flew Alaska Airlines.
Alaska.
Yeah.
I used to do Alaska when it was called Virgin Airlines. They got bought. I'm out.
Is that right?
Out. Yeah, man. Why did they get the weird purple lights on the plane?
You know, it looked a lot nicer than Alaska Airlines should be.
It's left over.
Makes sense.
Yeah, they still got some copies of Mike Oldfield records laying around. Get it? What's your most expensive record you own?
Ooh. I have a UK pressing of Are We Not Men? that has the two promo posters.
Okay.
Massive posters.
All right.
I have a...
I'll give you $10 for it. Okay. You can give me $2 change.
I'll pass.
How much you pay for that? $7,000?
No, I think I paid $50.
Yeah.
At a flea market. But it was for the posters. $50! It was for the posters.
I go to a flea market, I spend $50 just when I go in the place. Doesn't make people feel nice. I throw my cash around. Hey, Pat.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying some of the snacks here. L.A. snacks. Only can't get them anywhere else.
What kind of snacks you like, Gary?
I got some for you.
All right. Let's see.
Now, these are like L.A. local things.
Love it. What's in the bag?
Those.
So these are combos.
Yeah, that's L.A. only.
Pizzeria stuffed snacks.
Yeah, they're like... The thing is with it, you think it's like a pizza, but it's like a pretzel.
Pretzel pizza.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
They don't even sell them anywhere else.
Wow. Stuffed full of awesome is the trademark.
Just that. L.A.
I love it. Thank you.
Local cuisine.
What else?
Hey, Brett,
you
want to try those? Combos. Because it's a combination of pretzel and pizza. Get in there.
Sure. Thank you.
Here's another thing, L.A. only.
Yeah. What?
They don't make them anywhere else.
A Hostess apple fruit pie.
Hostess is a local company.
Wow.
It's in Brentwood.
That's yeah, it says L.A. here.
Yeah.
Hostess brands. Anyone want some? You guys are having combos.
I'm good on the combo.
Now that you're here.
Yeah.
And we're away from Mike.
No Dudio.
And we're away from Dudio.
Yes.
Who's dumber, Mike or Dudio?
Well, what's the subject matter that we're talking about?
General knowledge.
General knowledge. We're talking both of them head-to-head in a Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Who's winning?
Ken Jennings. Cool. And that other nerd.
The gambler or the...
The nerd.
Or
yeah,
Brad.
The gambler one's always pushing it all in.
James Hollinger, yeah.
Yeah, the best part of that Tournament of Champions was...
What?
Jennings takes his move, does a push-in move.
I said the same thing, and he gave some back to James.
And then that nerd.
Yeah.
The one nerd zung that other nerd. He's like, oh, they didn't, your score's still the same. It was zero.
He said, is this how you do it, James? He mocked him. Ken Jennings. It was great.
Nerd fight. Who cares? What is who cares? You only memorize stuff.
For the record,
though.
It's not
that impressive.
I think Mike would beat any of them in Jeopardy. Mike's book smart and all sorts of.
Yeah. Ask me a question for Jeopardy. I'm going to go on Jeopardy. Trebek.
Trebek. Test.
Give me a question.
All right.
Wait, did I get the Daily Double?
Yes. Ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. You got the Daily Double. In what?
Wait.
No. Okay.
I didn't do my wage.
Okay. What's your wage?
Wager.
What's your wager?
How many points do I have already? Not dollars, points.
You have 2,883.
I bet it all. Push it in.
He's pushing it in. All right. What is Bob Dylan's...
That's not how questions get asked on Jeopardy.
You're right. Let me think. Let me rephrase it.
First of all, not questions, it's clues.
Okay, here's the clue. Here's the clue.
All right.
All right. This hometown is the birthplace. No, this town is the birthplace of popular folk singer Bob Dylan.
What is Hibbing, Minnesota?
I think that's right.
Brett, is that right?
I know it's in Minnesota, so I'll take your word.
Be saying yeah. 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 Too much diet, Dr. Pepper. I'm gonna barf. The food out here is not very good.
You're not liking the
I hated this fancy sushi place. Silverfish.
Ooh.
And it turned out I was supposed to go to Sugarfish. You like sushi?
Me?
Yeah,
I love sushi.
How do you like them sushi? That's how they do it out here. I'm Good Will Hunting style. Ay, ay, ay. Okay. Doot, doot, doot. Doot, 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 doot. That's a good karaoke song. I packed and I pulled. I smiled when I did. She never for me. Say she waited for the ovation. Right?
Yeah.
I'm out of action. She got mad and she got mad at me. I want something else. Jenkins!
Jenkins.
Underrated!
Agreed.
Wish you could get up off that ledge, my friend. Country! Country inflection! When are you guys going to do a record together? A love record!
When are we going to do a love record?
Is it going to be a heart-shaped record?
No.
On pink vinyl?
No.
What?
Red vinyl.
Red vinyl?
No.
No!
Colored vinyl actually sounds worse. Did you know that, Gary?
Yeah, I did know that.
All right.
You didn't when you made your first record on white.
I didn't. No worse. It's a color to make a record on.
Impossible to cue.
Yeah.
It does look fantastic, though. It sounds fantastic, though.
He made mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing okay, though.
Doing great now.
I cheer him on. He's my favorite power pop guy.
Oh.
Him and Paul Collins.
The king of power. The self-proclaimed king of power pop.
Self-proclaimed.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I could do without it. I'm over Peter Case, man, myself.
Yeah.
No. I'm on the telephone, the birds about the ball. Don't leave me hanging on the telephone. Not written by Blondie.
Nope.
That's right.
Live and learn. Allison.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite song you ever wrote?
That I ever wrote?
Yeah.
Ooh. I don't know. I kind of hate them all.
Okay, what song do you wish you wrote? Rocket Man.
I think the Rock Pile song, When I Write the Book. Do you know
what?
Do you know that
when
song?
When I Write the Book.
When I Write the Book by Rock Pile. It's probably my favorite song.
Yeah,
ever?
I think so.
Really?
Mike played me that song for the first time.
When I Write the Book, everybody's going to read that book.
That's the gist.
Yeah,
then they're going to check it out from the library. It don't do me very good because I wrote the book. The library bought one copy.
You don't know that
and
song, Gary?
And everybody's reading it. You wouldn't kill you to buy him a book rather than check it out at the library. It was hard writing the book. Hey, Brett. What's Groomzilla's?
Groomzilla's is a classic Forever Dog podcast about two comedians, and they're on their way to get married.
Why is the one guy green?
Hey, that was actually my idea. I thought, like, Zillas, like, you know, they're like Godzilla, so it's sort of...
I got you. So one guy's green. I bet that guy loved when you're like, yeah, you're green on the picture. You're going to be green. One is green.
To be fair, I applied the same Photoshop filter to both faces. It just, I think the shadowing of one just made it look...
Well, what color was the other guy? Did not be green.
I think it just had to do with the lighting.
He's not hulking out, is he?
I guess he's half a Groomzilla.
What's Three Swings?
That is Rhea Butcher's podcast about baseball, but also about life and all the big questions.
Baseball!
It's a good one.
America's pastime. Boring. Not the podcast, baseball. I'm sure it's very good.
It's very good.
Yeah, I gotta get a podcast here. What's up with Gary the Squirrel? The Gary Files. Right? What about a podcast where I do every episode of Wheel of Fortune?
Every single one?
Yeah. Every episode.
Do you work your way back, or do you start at the beginning? Okay.
Start at the beginning. Every episode of Wheel of Fortune.
You could argue that Wheel of Fortune is America's pastime. I think it's more Jeopardy, though.
Big wheel keep on turning. Proud Mary keep on burning.
Were you excited when Vanna White finally got to guest host?
What?
Vanna White finally got to guest host.
Pat Sajak.
When he took his medical leave for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know why he took medical leave?
Why is that?
Hand cramps.
Is that real?
Yeah. From straightening the wheel out. They make him line it up for each round. Remember when they would make it and you got to see, I'll take the dresser for $9,000. It was a ripoff.
Yeah.
Got to buy from their dumb store. What is this, a mining town? What is this, Alabama?
Sorry.
Mike.
Yes.
Who's the best songwriter
in the world?
Give me five good ones. Five all Hall of Famers.
Currently alive.
John Lennon.
John Lennon. I'll keep playing those mind games forever.
Next would be Glenn Danzig.
Mother, what do you want to raise hell with me?
Let's go with Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan. No, 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 no. No, I'm doing Wigwam. You like Wigwam? Good Dylan song.
Yeah.
Carly Simon.
Man, I'm thinking
it doesn't have to be all men.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah! Fix that!
Careful here.
Oh, boy.
Woke up, it was a Chelsea morning. Was a
I know you want to throw one of the Oasis guys in there.
What about... You don't need no piece of paper from the city hall.
Johnny.
Just to make them do.
Joni Mitchell.
There you go.
Yeah.
You don't like her.
I like Joni.
You don't like Neil Young. You don't like Joni Mitchell. Why do you hate Canada so much?
I love Canada, actually. I think Canada's fantastic. I'd like to live there.
Destroyer.
I like Destroyer. New pornographers.
Carl Newman. Good friend of mine.
AC.
Danny Bayard is a good friend of mine, too.
I believe it.
What about Nico?
Good friend of mine.
Great.
She's not Canadian, though.
She's not.
Woke up, it was a Chelsea mall.
Where's Nico from?
She's New from York.
Yeah, I think she's from Washington originally, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
Can't remember.
Hmm.
Who else?
Dolly Parton.
Got any other
songwriters?
Yeah.
Skip
Allison. Name five songwriters.
Well, we talked about Joni.
Yeah.
Nina Simone.
Okay.
Big time.
Love Nina Simone. Who else? I like Paul. I'm more of a Paul McCartney fan than a John Lennon fan.
Yeah.
What about Linda? Linda.
McCartney?
Yeah.
Love Linda.
No.
Love Wings. Who else? We're talking about Nick Lowe.
Yeah.
Elvis Costello.
Right.
Lou
boop,
Reed.
Boop, beep. Boop,
Lou
boop,
Reed.
Boop. Where the rain exploded in a mighty crash.
Is that his best song? No, it's not. You know what his best song is?
What is
meow,
it?
Meow, meow, no, 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 no. When I get to the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide. Then I stop and I turn and I go for a ride. Then I get to the bottom and I see you again. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's gonna knock the bottle over. But it's too punk. They can't handle punk in Forever Dog. This place ain't punk enough.
It's got the stickers, though.
Yeah, man. Where you get these stickers? Sticker guy? Yeah?
Yeah, we got sticker guy.
No. No,
the
I know you have
guy.
A sticker guy in Vegas. Where you get all your... All the best stickers are printed in Las Vegas.
Sticker guy primarily does silkscreen stickers. I think these are full-color digital stickers.
Yeah, save that for the sticker podcast.
Wait, wait, Gary, can you do a cold read of a sticker guy podcast ad?
No.
Okay.
What, are you writing my material?
I could just hear it in your voice. I could hear it.
Yeah. What is the best Paul McCartney song?
I don't know.
And when I go away, then I will always say with my love, it's only true. Or is it? Maybe I'm amazed at the way you love me all the time. Or maybe I'm afraid of the way I leave you. The live version's better than the studio.
I heard the studio version, the rare time I heard the studio version was last night playing in the background of a restaurant. And I was like, see, I like the studio version that mainstream radio won't play. They only play the live version.
What's a guitar solo you can sing that you know well enough?
On the spot? I can't think of any. Shout one out. See if I know it.
Like,
What's a Guns N' Roses
one? I probably
one?
Don't.
Like, maybe I'm a mace. Like that!
Hotel California's got a singable. My favorite part of that solo is it has a weird kind of up and down part that's so specific to that song and nothing else. It's Who's the guitar? But Joe
Walsh.
Joe
Save
Walsh.
That for the Joe Walsh podcast, Pat.
Joe Walsh, pretty heavy duty. Don't you don't my bone. Funk 49. James Gang.
James Gang, yeah.
Heavy duty. That's what you should get backed up by. Heavy duty power trio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or sticks.
Or Styx, yeah, that would be cool.
You know what they say? Styx and stones. Rock and roll. Styx and stones may break my bones. Right?
Right.
But what?
But words will never hurt me?
Yes. What are words for when no one listens anymore? Missing persons. Walking in L.A.
That's a good song, too. We heard that last night at the bar.
Walking in L.A. What are words for? What no one listens anymore. Words for? No? Sing a guitar solo.
The part in Hotel California?
No, another one.
Oh, a different
like
one.
Like Comfortably Numb. Right?
Yeah.
Man, I gotta be in a band again. The Heartthrobs broke up.
Oh, how long ago?
9 months ago.
I'm sorry.
I'm working on an album for Merge.
That's a rough blow. You gotta reformed.
But being on Merge is a rough blow.
No, that the band broke up
hey,
right
before. Choose your word. Half the roster's in this room.
I was misquoted.
Choose your word. Take the name of our label out of your mouth.
Sorry, Laura.
I'm not on. They don't know I'm on the label yet.
Oh, they don't.
How does that work?
How does what work?
Like, do I make the record, then they send it in, and then they put it out? Or do they have to ask me?
The latter, I think. It goes in different ways.
Yeah.
But
so I'm, because this is what I'm thinking of doing.
You've done it both ways.
I was going to do the record, then I was going to mail it in, be like, put this out. I'd like it to come out in 3 weeks. And I want one of those weird covers like the Led Zeppelin 3 with the wheel on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want trading cards in it, too. And 5 posters. And I want it on 680-gram vinyl. The thickest vinyl. I want it to play at 16 speed for maximum audio fidelity. Can you tell them?
I'll tell them, yeah, I'll tell.
What's that guy's name, Merv?
Merv of Merge, yeah.
Yeah, tell Merv from Merge. All right, checking that old watch on the wall. Clock, not watch. It's time for me to get my tail over to Del Taco. It's taco time.
Bye, Gary.
What?
I was just saying goodbye to you.
You can eat that fruit pie.
I'm gonna.
Don't bring it back.
I won't.
Why can't you bring it back?
Nope.
The Rite Aid. You're gonna get such a pinch.
I won't do it, Gary.
I'll bop you.
I'll enjoy it.
It's been a while since I bopped anyone.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
Bopped. It's been a while. What's a record I should listen to? Classic record that I don't know about, Mike.
Well, if you didn't know the Rock Pile record, you should listen to that.
Seconds of Pleasure?
Yes.
Yeah, I know it.
Okay.
Sugar was as sweet as you, honey. Sugar just couldn't be bought.
That's right.
Not into it.
I'm not good at questions like this.
Ay, ay, ay. What's a record you like?
What were we listening to yesterday?
Californication by the Chili Peppers.
I know it. Allison, what's a record I should listen to?
What were we listening to yesterday?
We
listened to The Sounds. Do you remember The Sounds? They were a Swedish band from the late 90s, early 2000s.
We're not living in America.
We're not gonna take it.
Heavily influenced.
We ain't gonna take it. You like them?
Love them.
They're kind of power pop.
They are kind of power pop.
You can't stop rock and roll. You should get them to produce your next record. JJ French. Get him in the booth.
I would love to, yeah.
Who'd be your dream producer?
Oh, well.
Any era.
I'd love to work with Rick Ocasek, but that moment has passed.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Dun, 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 bat.
Yep.
Dun, 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 Bennett.
There's a singable solo.
Well. If you want to get produced by... Don't you want Roy Thomas Baker to produce you? What would you rather sound like, first Cars album or the first Weezer album?
Ooh.
That's a good point.
Probably the first Weezer album.
What? You're all I've got tonight. Roy Thomas Baker, get you those backing vocals.
That's right.
Sound like an orchestra.
Todd Rundgren's still out there.
I don't think he wants anything to do with anybody, really.
Jonathan, who do you want to produce your record other than me?
Other than you? We keep talking about rock pile. Nick Lowe, I think, would probably be my dream producer.
I mean an American Squirm. Right?
Right.
Right.
That's right.
Who wrote... Here's a trivia question for you, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Who wrote the song Girls Talk by Dave Edmonds?
And it wasn't Nick Lowe?
One guess. Who's it going to be?
I'll say Nick Lowe.
Wrong!
Elvis Costello.
It was Elvis Costello.
That's right.
He's good.
He's very good, yes.
Hot streak, then he stunk for 30 years. Right? We all know it.
We all know it.
We all know it.
The jazz album was all right.
Not for Mike. Mike don't like jazz. What about this song, Mike, before I leave? For the bumblebee.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't.
What a trombone! You don't like it? You don't like jazz?
I like it when you do it, Gary.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you some jazz people you should check out. Write this down.
Okay.
John Coltrane.
Okay.
Boo-doot, doo-doot, a squirrel supreme, a squirrel supreme, a squirrel supreme. And with that, I leave you. Good night.
There he goes.
So long, wow. Gary.
Bye,
it's been
Gary.
So long time.
Long, long time.
So what was I saying before I was so rudely interrupted?
I think we were talking about Rocky.
Yeah, I think we were. But yeah. I'm going to say we should end it now. Brett, thank you so much for allowing us to use the Forever Dog studio. You're a champ. Forever Dog is the best in the biz.
Thank you, Brett.
Thank you, Brett. Thank you, Pat. Pat, it's so great to see you.
It's been an honor to be in the L.A. Forever Dog studio and to be on an L.A. Best Show.
And you can also tell, you can ease up on the famous orange table.
What do you mean? It's I'm not. That wasn't me.
You saw it in a picture.
Yeah, but
there's a difference between I saw a picture in the studio and they have an orange table there.
It was real.
The legendary. Okay, look, I get it.
I'm happy to be at it. It's an honor.
I felt the same way. I saw a friend's baby that I see on Instagram. And I was like, oh my God, it's that baby.
I know.
It's that famous
it's
baby.
Exciting.
It's like, no, it's just their baby. It's not famous.
I'll tell Brett though. You're missing one sticker, and I'll send it to you in the mail. Best Show sticker.
Well, no, they only put their network stickers on.
But we've recorded here.
No, we're not on the network. We're not putting it. No, I don't want it on the table. I want to respect the table.
Stickers in the mail.
You earn your spot on this table.
You can put it under the table.
That's true. Maybe under the table should be.
Secret sticker.
Well, everybody's signing under the table, right? You check under the table. You see Alice Wetterlin signed under the table. Allison Crutchfield, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
It's so nice to have you here.
It's a dream come true.
And people can check your music out where now?
All the regular places, Spotify, Apple Music, record stores, mergerecords.com.
Okay. Mike Kroll, and you're on social media as?
At Allison Crutchfield.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And Mike Kroll, you're still a rock star. You bring the. This is the thing I admire about you. One of the many things I admire about
wow.
you. The craft.
Mm-hmm.
The focus. You're one of the few people who truly takes the music and the presentation of the music equally seriously. And
thank
you make
you.
Sure, whether it's the packaging or whether it's your onstage persona and presence and outfit. You take both sides seriously and you do both sides of that coin are both equally great.
Well, thank you. That's the highest praise I could get today. Thank you.
Well, it's the truth.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
And people can find you on social media at?
At Mike Kroll on Instagram and at Facebook and Twitter, Mike Fred Kroll.
And it's one Mike Kroll.
One L.
We got in early on Instagram.
We did, yeah. Very early adapters.
So thank you, everyone, for listening. And I guess if you're hearing this, then you are, I don't know, if you're hearing it. If you're hearing it, you're hearing it, right?
Yes. And thank you.
All right. Now I leave you with this once again. Do you like classical music? You don't like jazz. You like classical, though, right?
Not really.
No? What about this? Oh, Pat. You spotted it. Did you see this movie, Allison or Mike?
What movie?
This one. The best movie of the last 20 years.
It's very familiar to me.
Yes. It's called Phantom Thread.
Didn't see it.
What? And who wrote this?
The song or the movie?
This song. Who composed this? I guess you don't write things like this. Radiohead man, Johnny Greenwood.
Johnny Greenwood.
Yeah.
It's the best movie. You got to see the movie. And on that note, Best Show says good night.
Bye.